What up, y'all? We are talking everything AEW Dynasty coming up next.
Howdy, folks. This is Willow Nightingale, and you are watching Women's Wrestling Talk.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling network on the planet.
What up, y'all? TK Trinidad here. What an amazing show, and we're going to talk all about it. Right now, we have some new co-hosts, some returning co-hosts, all that good stuff. Jason is back with us. How are you doing, Jason?
What's up, TK? It's great to see you. A lot of people don't know you and I met a few years back. I worked for Company A, you worked for Company B, and we essentially got traded for each other.
Yeah,
pretty crazy. So glad to be here, and congrats on everything you're doing in real life and in your wrestling life too. It's awesome. Love it.
I appreciate it. Yeah, it's the great things about living in LA and doing the entertainment thing. It's a small but big world. And also, speaking about small but big world, another connection, Remy with the Guy News connection, Ringside Society. What's good? How are you doing? Welcome to Women's Wrestling Talk.
What up, y'all? It's the worldwide star boy, Remy Blue from Ringside Society, the Wrestling Fans Podcast, and it's great to be here.
Thank you. Thank you. Welcome. So let's get into it. We can start with the 0 hour. Out of these matches, that happened the 0 hour, which one was your favorite? And do you think that any one of them should have been in, like, the regular pay-per-view?
You know, I didn't think any of them needed to be on the main show. I'm glad Trent is doing his own thing now. I really want to see Trent Beretta in the BCC. I think this aggressive, angry side of Trent, put him in the BCC. Let's do this.
Remy?
So, Matt, wow, a lot of these matches were great, but honestly speaking, I think the six-man tag team match to unify the Ring of Honor World Six-Man Championship and the AEW World Trios Championships, that should have been in the main thing. Because you got a father and his sons going head-to-head. You got two people. You got pretty much two factions that tried to make it work, but it just didn't. And man, that freestyle from Max Caster was crazy. I honestly, and the fact that, you know, Billy Gunn, to me, he was the real MVP of that match, because although he's obviously the eldest out of all the competitors in that ring, he showed up and he showed out tonight. And yeah, I think that should have been on the main show, in my opinion.
Yeah, that freestyle. It's like one of those things where, like, some parts of the show, it was just kind of like, wait, and you know, obviously it's pay-per-view and it's wrestling. And even that happened when I was at TNA yesterday. You know, the slight swearing or the innuendos of things, it's just kind of like, wait, is this, I mean, I know kids are around, but you think of, like, when you were a kid, or I could speak for myself, when I was a kid, I had no idea what people were talking about. So it was just kind of like, you know, great freestyle. Kids probably had no idea. And that last bit was pretty awesome. So I definitely agree with you as far as the six man tag team to unify the belt. I think it should have been in the main show. However, it was kind of a great thing because you have this 0 hour to almost, like, bring people who maybe were sitting on the fence as far as buying the pay-per-view in. I think this was, like, the perfect perfect match to watch for people to be like, all right, let me see what else you got. So definitely want to see it in the main show, but great match nonetheless. But let's get to the main show, the main card. It was pretty stacked. I don't know about y'all. I felt like AEW pay-per-views tend to be a little bit longer. Like, I was there for Ring of Honor in Philly, and it was super long. But although, like, it finished at, like, 11:30, 12 o'clock, which is what time it is now on the East Coast. So how did you guys feel about the length of AEW Dynasty compared to other pay-per-views?
Good, Remy, you can take this one first.
So I'm not surprised at the length it has gone. It's always been, AEW's always been, you know, more matches. So for some reason, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but like WWE, they give you, and I don't mean to bring them up, but they give you, and this is, and for those of y'all watching, this is by no means me starting a tribalistic thing. The difference I see is that WWE, they give you less, but they put more time into the matches, meaning like, you know, you just see that it's more, but to me, they finish the same time as AEW, in my opinion. But AEW, they give you more matches, but at the same time, it's like their matches are like you could definitely, like, they keep you on the edge of your seat. So I'm okay with the length of it. I mean, getting out at 12 o'clock, you know, the show ending at exactly 12 o'clock midnight, that's pretty normal for me. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, besides, if you're going to the club after 12, I mean, nobody goes to the club before 12. Let's be honest. Let's keep it a buck. Nobody goes to the club before 12. So it finishes at 12. Okay. You know, I'm ready to go. That's my pregame. Gonna head to the club afterwards if you're into that sort of action. But that's what I think of you know, the show tonight.
Okay. All right. I'll tell you. Maybe because it was on the East Coast, and maybe that's, I mean, I don't necessarily go to the club at midnight, but maybe because I'm so used to it, shows finishing at like 8:30, 9 o'clock. Like yesterday, TNA, obviously not to bring up other promotions as well, but they finished at like 8:30, 9 o'clock. I was like, you still had time to do stuff. And so maybe it's the West Coast of me looking at the East Coast times that's kind of like, wait, like this is like, what are you gonna do at this time? So maybe that's what it is. But let's get into our first, actually that's not our first match, but we can just talk about this match anyway. What did you guys think of this match for AEW Continental Championship?
There were so many moments that I literally yelled holy shit at my TV. I mean, from the Okada getting ready to make it rain, and then he came up with the middle finger, which was amazing. I'm trying to think what there was the shotgun drop kick that Pac sold. It was just one of those things. It was like, and this is my corny, I'm not a dad, but this is dad joke 101 here. Uh-oh. It was AEW Dynasty. That's how, get it? Dynasty, get it?
Oh, that
spell job was unbelievable. I couldn't believe how good it is. I feel like Pac has 0% body fat. That dude is all muscle.
All the time.
And he looks better than he did, you know, 4 years ago when he showed up at AEW. It's insane. It was such a good match. So much fun.
So I like this match because I enjoy this match because you look at Pac. Pac is always like the smaller, like most of the time. I'd say roughly 97% of the time, he's always a smaller guy. But the guy just like, he just packs a punch. He just keeps on going and going and going. Even when you think he's down, he gets back up and he keeps on doing his thing. And if Okada didn't put some respect on his name, he definitely put respect on, you know, Pac's name tonight. And I like the whole, the middle finger thing. That was cool. He was like, nah, you know, forget you people. I'm going to keep my money. No rainmaking for you, man, you know. But yeah, this was definitely a great match. I'm actually excited to see I'm actually looking forward to seeing more Okada defenses in the very near future. I'm looking forward to it. I'm psyched.
I would love to see a rematch. Give me another one.
That'd be good. Yeah. So typically I didn't download this because I didn't think I wasn't expecting the dad jokes, but just in case, you know, we run into some more.
All right.
This is for you, Jason. I mean, I'm sorry, but you know, it is what it is.
You know what, TK? It's funny that you hit me with that because I can hit you with this. I got one too.
When two people come from radio, it's like you need your drops. Where's the drops at? Where's the board?
Okay.
So I guess I gotta start this because I'm I'm up there in age. I'm not with all the fat. I'm like Shawn Michaels with a computer. Like, I don't know about all those drops, you know. But yeah, I'll just be silent over here.
No, man. I promise. No more. No more. No more from me. I mean, I've got some fun ones, but you know.
Oh my gosh, hilarious!
I can't believe AEW. That's amazing. That is a great one. And when I wrote it on Twitter, it was lowercase AEWDY and then nasty in all caps. Yeah.
Well, great match.
I promise. Maybe.
Great match, nonetheless. Okada wins by pinfall with the Rainmaker to retain the AEW Continental Championship. So congratulations to them. Solid match. And we'll just kind of go by where my slides are taking me, because we're not going to be in order. But this is actually perfect, because obviously we're here, Women's Wrestling Talk. We like to talk about the women's matches. Julia Hart and Willow Nightingale, the TBS Championship. What did you guys think of this match?
ATK girl, I need proper angitis match, man. I glad me get. Oh wait. Oh, never mind. Sorry, I forgot.
Jason, did you understand what he said?
Jason's no. Here. I'm sorry, y'all. I got into my Guyanese accent, and you know, I was just so happy seeing, you know, a fellow Guyanese win a title. I enjoyed this. You know the funny thing I like about Willow Nightingale is the fact that she's like Big E. She didn't have to go all like get mad and get all gangster and get all upset and break. She just went skipping all the way through, smiling and everything. You're seeing Julia Hart and Sky, she's smiling at them. You see Mercedes Moné, you're smiling, you're skipping, and she still won a title. So and the woman can definitely go. I'm very happy for her. Not just because she's Guyanese. I mean, yes, that's a great plus, because like I said, like we all know here, representation matters. Right. And I was the same way with Ezekiel Jackson when he won his title several years ago. But I was very happy because, you know, she did it and she didn't have to change. She had a whole puff of black mist blown in her face and she was still skipping and smiling and she still won a title. So I enjoyed this. Julia Hart was a great champion. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. I'm curious as to what's next for her, but I know this now, the showdown we saw afterwards, and I like how they did this. I like how they had a showdown. The CEO just came out, didn't start throwing no hands, didn't say nothing. At least I mean, I was at work when I was working, but watching this at the same time. She just was like, okay, I'm next. You didn't have to say nothing. You knew what was coming next, and everybody, I'm sure, is looking forward to it. That's all I'm going to say about that match.
The only thing I didn't really like about the match was the fact that commentary made a point to say she won the title in November, but this was only her eighth title defense. So I didn't love that very much, because you're pointing out the fact. Now, I've heard that she might have been hurt and have been working hurt, and maybe that's why she's only had seven defenses. But the Julia Hart character, think about this. 2 years ago, she was a cheerleader.
Mm-hmm.
To flip it completely and go goth mode. And she helped elevate Sky Blue. And, you know, this feud with Willow. And if Julia is hurt, go rest up, get well, come back better than ever. And I really, like you were saying, Remy, about Willow, she's just smiley, happy, fun, happy-go-lucky. And with Mercedes, you know, I'm not thrilled that Mercedes is only her first match is going to be for a title. But I guess when you're the CEO and you, you know, you write the you get the big checks, you can kind of write your own path or whatever that saying is. So, yeah. But the match was fun. I enjoyed it.
It was fun. And there were some moments where Willow did get. She wasn't as happy-go-lucky, which is great. It's kind of like she showed some versatility, and definitely, definitely because she's Guyanese, I love that fact. But JD pointed it out, Willow is one of the hardest working women in 2023, before that. Willow's been on our radar as far as on the indie scene for a long time. She's been putting in the work. She's been on so many different indie shows, even at WOW. So well-deserved. The whole thing with Mercedes, it feels like Willow is going to drop because Mercedes is the CEO and she technically is the, I forgot what the NFL term is, but there's like the NFL term where, Jason, you might know, it's the NFL term where the franchise player.
Yeah, franchise tag.
So it just seems like Mercedes, like you have to get a return on your investment. So mm-hmm. It feels like, I don't know about you guys, but I felt like Willow was gonna win against Julia. It just seemed like it was the timing of it, but it feels like Mercedes is gonna win at Double or Nothing, and that is a very short reign for Willow. So I'm not really looking for, I'd be very surprised if Mercedes doesn't win, but then it's just kind of like, it doesn't make me feel good. Like I'm happy for Willow, but now it's like Double or Nothing is where, like a month 5 weeks away.
Yeah.
So what kind of, you know, title reign is that? So I'm not excited about that. But I mean, they might surprise me. We'll see. But nonetheless, congratulations to Willow on the championship. Well deserved. So many hand claps for her. Let's go to Roderick Strong and Kyle O'Reilly. How do you guys like this match?
This was hard hitting, very technical, and that's what I loved about it. And of course, the storyline with them being former friends. And then we get the return of Adam Cole. And I don't know if anybody noticed the weird look he was giving at Wardlow. Of course, Wardlow was supposed to win the title and present it to Adam Cole. Wardlow did not win against Samoa Joe. So I have a feeling that's where that's going. But I didn't know until after that, somebody had texted me, Wardlow was in a really nasty car accident on Friday. That's why he was walking a little gingerly. And so I'm glad he's all right because his car is definitely not all right. So, you know, get well, Wardlow. It was good to see you. It's great to see Adam Cole back in the match. Hard hitting, great storytelling. And AEW pay-per-views always deliver for me. Like
always?
I think there might have been one in the 5 years that I didn't like.
Okay.
But I just, the you know, when the lights are bright, they always deliver.
Okay. Remy?
I'll agree with you on that, Jason. I always tell people that, you know, myself and even my crew of Ringside Society, we're not pro AEW, we're not pro WWE, we're pro wrestling.
Right.
And, I give the devil his due. Although Dynamite may be a bit questionable, Collision may be a bit questionable, and so is Rampage. The pay-per-views always deliver. I enjoy the matches. In regards to this match, So I was kind of disappointed because, yeah, it was great. Don't get me wrong. Kyle O'Reilly and Roderick Strong, they're great athletes. But I was, like, hoping to see, like, okay, Adam Cole's coming down. Okay. He's at a moment of, like, he's at an impasse, for lack of a better term. Because, yeah, Roderick Strong is this boy. They've been boys since, you know, the Undisputed Kingdom. And even Ring of Honor, I guess. You know, and that's his current stablemate in the Undisputed Kingdom. But, well, I mean, they were stablemates in Undisputed Era. Now they're stablemates in Undisputed Kingdom. But you got Kyle O'Reilly on the other end, who's like, you know, my one of my good friends just got beat. My former tag team partner that I broke into Ring of Honor with, I forgot, I think it was Future Shock. My former Future Shock tag team partner just got beat. So do I go ahead and see if he's okay, or do I go ahead and celebrate with the Undisputed Kingdom? I was kind of hoping to see that, but I guess they're not going to do that right now. And it was a great match, don't get me wrong, but it's like, I'm wondering, like, okay, what's next for Kyle O'Reilly? You know, what's next? Are they going to do anything else with him? Is he going to flounder around? I mean, like Danhausen, what is he going to do? Because it's looking like, I guess I got to tune in to see how it is, but overall great match. You know, Roderick Strong, Kyle O'Reilly, they always deliver. I always call Kyle O'Reilly, like, this is the first time I'm saying this, I always refer to him as the John McClane diehard of wrestling. He's always hard hitting. He's like, yippee-ki-yay, mother effer, even though he doesn't look it. But when he goes in there, you can tell it's yippee-ki-yay, mother lover. Yeah, I'm about to show y'all something. So great match, but I was just disappointed, like, the ending. I was hoping, like, there would have been some kind of, like, you know, some kind of interaction between the two. But I guess you just got to wait and see how things go, you know, in the coming weeks or months.
I do like a good story, and that was definitely what was played out. A couple comments we have: Bosa, in referring to Mercedes. Mercedes thinks she's hot shit to the point people are saying, "What's the point of AEW rankings?" Which is yes and no. I mean, we obviously knew that was coming. It's if you take the wrestling out of it and you just operate on business, the fake TK is probably paying her a lot of money. So you want a return on your investment. You just can't have her kind of going through the ranks. So there's that. Bosa also said, as far as this last match, it was flawless. This put Kyle on the map on the single scene in AEW. JD agreeing with AEW pay-per-views. If it does, it does feel like they value the fans' hard-earned money, to Jason's point. And I guess as long as he's diehard 1-3, John McClane, not 4 or 5.
I think 4 was the one with Sam Jackson where he made John McClane wear the sandwich board with the N-word on it. I think that was I think that was 4. Okay. The first diehard.
The only John McClane I actually go with is diehard 1 and diehard 2. I don't like think about diehard 3 too much. But Die Hard 1 and 2, yeah, those are the two types of John McClane I like.
How many diehards? Because I think I've only seen one. How many diehards are there?
I think there's 5, and then there's like a die harder and live hard and die harder or something like, which sounds like an adult movie, but like
honestly, I think I probably have to take off my shoes, which I can't right now, and probably count how many I lost count. I'm surprised he's still living. If you're dying hard all these times, what are you a human or are you a cat? Like really? Like what's going? Geez, I want to know his secret because geez, all you dying hard all these times. Like geez, like all right, I don't know.
I got the official list: Die Hard, Die Hard 2, Die Hard with a Vengeance, Live Free or Die Hard, and A Good Day to Die Hard. That's your
a good day.
Jeez. An adult movie. Okay.
All right.
Oh, Hollywood.
All right. Well, you know, there's some fun facts for Jeopardy's question. This match was really interesting. Hook versus Chris Jericho, FTW Championship. What did you guys think of this match?
I didn't like the crowd. I don't understand the Jericho hatred. I don't know what's going on or why that's happening. I thought it was a good match. I enjoyed the story. It was interesting that towards the end, one of the bigger pops of the night is when Taz stood up. They didn't show it on camera, though. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing it was like, you had an opportunity. Look, you know, Chris Jericho, and it's funny that his lower third said that he's now the learning tree, Chris Jericho. I mean, I'm a fan. The guy's got so many nicknames and reinventions, but this story. But one thing I don't understand, and I don't get Hook. It's like he's a tougher Orange Cassidy. Like he doesn't care, but he does care and he eats potato chips. I just don't understand Hook. I don't. And if you guys know it, please fill me in or someone in the comments. Cause I don't get Hook. I don't.
I don't get him either.
Okay, good. It's not just me.
But I mean, I don't get where they're going with the character. Like he's walking. Yeah, you're kind of right. He looks like a more serious Orange Cassidy. Like, I don't know. Like Orange Cassidy would probably be I don't smoke weed. But if I were to smoke weed, Orange Cassidy would be the cool dude I would smoke weed with. And I guess Hook would be the friend that I smoke weed next to, but he doesn't smoke. But he would just be like watching on. While I smoke weed and talk to him, or we have a conversation.
Okay.
But this match, not to digress, it was a great match. I actually predicted on my own show that Chris Jericho was going to win. I didn't see Hook getting a win over that man. I mean, the man's a multi-time champion. I mean, come on. But, you know, the thing I like was that when Taz went, you know, immediately, Taz didn't do the fatherly thing and, you know, get involved, which is cool. You know, let your son fight his own battles. But I like that he went and he checked on his son and told Chris, okay, you got your win. Get out. Mm-hmm. It would have been interesting to see what Chris would have done if he didn't get out, if he would have tried Taz again. I was really hoping to see a Taz mission somewhere, but, you know, one could dream. But I like that he went and he checked on his son. And it was a pretty good match. The question I have for this one now is, because we've all heard the rumors that Hook intends to, and these are rumors. I'm not going by what the rumors that, you know, he intends to explore free agency upon the expiration of his current contract at AEW. Mm-hmm. I got a million questions. Like, is this gonna be like, okay, Hook took this loss. He's gonna learn from this and come back stronger. Is this like a send off for him? If it's possibly his last match. If he does leave, it's just gonna still be the FTW championship. But on the bright side, I'm looking forward to seeing what Jericho is doing with the FTW championship, because I don't know if he's gonna, you know, he always comes up with something like that's catchy. Always. I don't know if he's gonna call it like the Free the World or change the FTW to something else.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing what he's gonna do with that championship. Because
I think with Hook, they're 1-1 now. So I think we could get the third match, because Hook beat Jericho on Dynamite, I'd say maybe like a month ago when this whole thing started. So mm-hmm. I think maybe we could get a third match. And what the real question here is, they've said from the beginning, the FTW title is not recognized by AEW. So why is it always defended on TV? Why is it always on pay-per-views? I've never understood that about AEW and the FTW title.
JD say fuck world.
Oh,
that's great.
He might be onto something there. Fozzy, yes, he goes on a tour with Fozzy and he brings that title with him and he shows the crowd it and they go crazy. Yeah, you might be onto something with that.
That's good. That's real good.
Bosa saying, I read reports Hook is wanting to test free agency. Fans just didn't give a shit about this. Bosa, you're really sweary this evening about this match. Hell, they don't rub it in their face. I mean, the Jericho win, I mean, I thought, or maybe I wanted Hook to win, because it kind of felt like it's one thing if somebody takes you underneath their wing as the learning tree and you're appreciative of it, but if somebody's taking you under their wing and you're saying, nah, I'm good, then I feel like that person should be able to do better. And that's where the win would have came. I did like the fact that Jericho, you know, when he got the belt, bat and everything else, I was going to say the belt and everything else, he said he was sorry before he caused more damage to him. But yeah, it is interesting. I was reading some of the comments. And I think one of them was from Andreas. He works for ESPN now, and he was saying that it just seems like anything that Jericho touches or people he wants to help, it just doesn't end too well. So maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's also a match to cool things off as well. As you guys know, if you guys did watch the pay-per-view, we are not going in order. So don't, you know, think, oh, well, this match, we're not going in order. So it is what it is. So yeah, I don't know. Jericho is great, but at what point should he, like, when do you think he's going to be hanging it up?
You know, I've been on a couple of the Jericho cruises, and this guy just goes nonstop over those 6 days of those cruises, the amount of appearances and things that he does. And he could probably go for another 5 years, okay. You know, and people are complaining about him being on the main card and Jay White being on the pre-shows, two pay-per-views in a row. Well, mm-hmm. That's Tony Khan's fault, because Tony Khan hasn't booked Jay White like Jay White should be booked.
Right.
I think Jericho understands what his role is, to work with young guys. I mean, look, he worked with Max. He worked with Orange Cassidy. He worked with Sammy. Now with Hook. So I think he understands he's the vet to try to help to get the young guys over.
Right.
And, you know, with Fozzy going on tour and doing as well as they're doing, you know, he can take some time off, pop back in with another name or another character or another era, you know, this learning tree with his goatee, which he has. I don't think I've ever seen him with just a goatee. Maybe the scarf days he had a goatee, but I don't know what. But the fans just, they just aren't into Jericho right now, and I don't understand why, because the guy is great for business.
Yeah, I don't know. I agree with both. I'm of mixed feelings with this. But like we said, or if you guys couldn't guess, Jericho took the win. And then also, just to go back, I didn't tie that up. Roderick Strong wins by pinfall with the end of Heartache retaining the AEW International Championship. So that leads us to this match, which was crazy. Will Ospreay and Brian Danielson. Wow. Yeah. What do you guys think?
Man, this match was lots of back and forth, two different styles, you know, that were actually used to the extent of to the best of their ability. I actually enjoyed it. Will Ospreay definitely proved that not only, yes, he may be what people call a flippy floppy guy, a flippy, you know, people out there like to call high flyers, you know, flippy floppy, although you see the same thing in Lucha Libre, if you look at it, and they don't say nothing about that. But he definitely proved that, yes, although he is, you know, a high flyer, he's not just that. He can definitely go ground for ground, and he can definitely go, you know, for the long haul. I like this match a lot. Both men hit their finishing moves, both kicked out. I was like, what? Mm-hmm. I couldn't believe it. And, you know, then, you know, I remember there was one point where Will got back up like the Undertaker. I'm like, is he trying to like send a message to WWE? I know he has that thing with Triple H, where Triple H said, apparently he said he can't live up to the grind. I guess he took that Triple H talking to him. And so I guess, you know, he was imitating a WWE guy. And, you know, that part got me. And it was overall a great match, definitely a classic. I hope Bryan Danielson is okay, because I mean, it looked like a nasty fall he took there.
Yeah.
In regards to his neck. You know, I'm sending positive vibes to him and his family. I hope he's okay, because, you know, although I appreciate a great show, I'm always about safety and health, and that looked kind of nasty. I think I heard him groaning as well too.
Yeah, it was. But, it didn't sound good at all.
Let's hope that he's actually in good spirits after this match, in great spirits after this match. But definitely a classic. I'd put it up there. I'd put it up there with like Okada and I guess Kenny Omega, yeah. Or you know, yeah, I'd put it up there as a classic for one of the classics for the last 10 years. So. I enjoy this one.
Ospreay can't miss. The guy is just so good at what he does in the matches. He always has great matches. I'm curious, though, because obviously it looked like Danielson's shoulder popped out or maybe dislocated. And then Ospreay didn't know. And he hit him again. Like, you could see the refs and the refs, like, getting doctors in there.
Right.
I'm curious, though, because the way they've been playing this up on TV – at least, you know, especially on Dynamite on Wednesday, was the Callis family came out to help, and he's like, no, I don't need your help. I don't need your help. I thought maybe this was going to be the night Ospreay got kicked out of the Callis family. Callis on commentary was perfect, because he just kept taking credit for everything, which was amazing. So I know a lot of people don't like Don Callis, but he adds so much to this. Hopefully Bryan Danielson's okay, because that looked nasty. And he was just like saying, like, they were trying to keep the camera far enough away, but you could still hear him. It was F word.
Yeah.
But they got him out, and they said he went out on his own feet.
Yeah. He's walking on his own feet.
Stretch him out or anything, because they had to get to the tag match, but an amazing match. Ospreay can't miss. I mean, so good. And I'm new to the Ospreay's game. I didn't really watch a lot of Japan or England, stuff like that. So I'm glad he's here. You know, the whole didn't want to embrace the grind made me laugh. And then the whole grinding on the boss's daughter made me laugh even more. So 5-7 stars. We'll give it 7.
7 stars.
7.
Bosa saying it was a bad bump, but interesting to see how commentary was trying to cover it up, even though Will and Doc Samson checked on him when the 3 count happened. Yeah, it seemed pretty bad, but I mean, to me, the good news, not the good news, to me, when you don't see the stretcher come out, like, it's like, okay, you know, it could be on that scale, but when you see the stretcher come out, that's just never a good sign, because it's dealing with your back and neck and all this, you know, all that situation. So
before you move on to the next one, I have the presser on in my office here. Tony Storm just looks disheveled and like, oh my God, it is hilarious. I can't wait to watch this later. She's the absolute best. The best character AEW has right now.
And we can actually talk about that match too.
Oh, okay.
Now, before we get into the match, how far do you think this Tony Stone character will go? And I mean, it's not like I have a problem with it. I think it's a great character. I mean, TNA has a lot of characters, mm-hmm. not similar, but characters that are not, you know, the normal everyday characters. But how far do you think Timeless Tony Storm is going to, you know, be around?
I'm sure everyone's going to think I'm insane with what I'm about to say.
Okay.
It could go on forever. Think about it. What era, what years do we think this character is in? We'll say the 50s, the 30s.
Yeah, like the 30s.
Okay, so the 30s. She does this for another 2 years.
Right.
Then she goes to the 40s, then the 50s, then the 60s, then the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, the 2000s, the 10s, the 20s. And then in, I don't know, 2054, she's in 2024. This character could literally go on. It's literally timeless, TK. Come on.
Oh, my God.
I am making total sense right here.
I'm just trying to envision. JD,
Tony Storm?
JD says love what Jason's cooking with Tony Storm.
I would say this, Tony Storm, people like Tony Storm are good examples of you getting a fresh breath in another promotion, because we weren't seeing this before, mm-hmm. and she just pretty much reinvented herself from the punk rock chick to now she's a superstar of the silver screen.
Mm-hmm.
And I like it. I like what I'm seeing.
I mean, I like the reinvention. I think she's doing really well. So it was Tony Storm against Thunder Rosa. Tony Storm came out on top, which I don't know. I feel like this was Thunder Rosa. Maybe they're going to run it back. I feel like Thunder Rosa, she did a whole... not a whole new revamp, but a revamp of a revamp. And I think I thought this was her time. The match was amazing. I think learning from being champion before that this time around would be a lot different if she had the opportunity. But, you know, it didn't quite work out. Bosa saying she was in the right place when Thunder injured her back and became injured. Oh, yes. That seems like a lifetime ago. JD saying Thunder Rosa is incredible to come back from those injuries and put on that performance. Definitely agree with that. With that being said, who do you think is next for Tony Storm? One, and then who do you think is next for Thunder Rosa?
I like Thunder Rosa's reinvention, like not wearing the face paint. I thought mm-hmm. it was a cool reinvention. She can still be proud of her heritage. I thought maybe she was going to wrestle in the mask at first. I thought so too. What is next for Tony Storm? You know, Deonna Purrazzo is still around. She's probably mm-hmm. my favorite on the female on the women's side of AEW. I don't know where Britt Baker is, but like, I'm in Pittsburgh right now, and I want Britt Baker. I want DMD back on TV.
Agreed.
Maybe she shows up. Maybe big surprise on Wednesday for Thunder Rosa. Maybe, you know, she could battle with maybe Mariah May a little more to try to get back to Tony Storm, or maybe, you know, Jamie Hayter maybe is a return, or, you know, we've got Sky Blue and There's so many options with the AEW women's division, but unfortunately, they don't know what they're doing with the women's division. It has been so mishandled, and it's so frustrating. So frustrating. So I will go a return Britt Baker for Toni Storm.
Okay.
And for Thunder Rosa, Deonna Purrazzo, because Thunder said, I don't need your help. I don't need your help. But Deonna came out and helped tonight. So I'll go Deonna, Thunder Rosa, Britt Baker, Toni Storm.
Do you think it's a better play for Thunder Rosa to be in play for like the TBS championship eventually?
Eventually, yes. But I think we all know where that's going.
Yes, unfortunately. Mercedes and don't get me wrong. I like Mercedes. I just when you see the writing on the wall, and of course, I mean, pun intended, there might be a swerve and Willow might retain.
That'd be awesome.
I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't mind either. I just don't see it. Like, I just don't see it happening with, you know, because it's Mercedes Moné. So I just don't see it happening.
I'm a big believer that wrestling is better when there are surprises.
Agreed.
So the surprise of Willow retaining would be awesome.
Yeah.
Surprise like returns. Or someone we don't even know right now. You know, I love wrestling surprises. It's sad that there aren't really too many of them anymore. And yeah,
I think there are quite a few. I feel like, did you guys predict, did you think Toni was going to retain or you thought that Rosa was?
Okay. I think I said Toni was going to retain. I can't remember what I said on my prediction show, but it might have been Toni retaining. I'm all for her retaining. I don't mind. Like I said, I like what she's doing. And I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but I think for some reason, she reminds me of Jessica Simpson. I don't know. I don't think she knows that either. But when I see her, I see Jessica Simpson. And I'm like, yeah. With
the right hair done. Yeah, I could definitely see that. But yeah, we'll see what happens. So like I said, Toni Storm retained. She is still the AEW Women's World Champion. Then we're going to go to Young Bucks and FTR. What do you guys think of this match?
Wow. Oh, snap. The Rockers versus the Brain Busters. I enjoy this match, man. Yo. Let me stop before I piss off somebody.
No, keep going, because I love it. This is the whole Toni Storm can go through the decades with this character and go on forever. Please, let's go. Rockers and Brain Busters. Cops call us 1985.
Could you imagine if R-Truth had seen this? He'd be like, hey, yo. If he had seen both tag teams, he's like, he sees Matt and Nick. He's like, hey, Marty, Sean, I hope you guys beat Arn and Tully tonight, man. You know, Sean, I know you're anxious to go solo, but I think you guys can really win the big one as the Rocker. I could imagine R-Truth saying something like that. And they're looking at him like, what?
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, R-Truth, such a gem.
But in all honesty, this match, I enjoyed it because it was two styles, and in actuality, yeah, it was a bit like the Rockers versus the Brain Busters because you got you know, Young Bucks, who were actually partially trained by Marty Jannetty. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't know that. And then you have FTR, who were at one point managed by Tully Blanchard. So I like this. It was a clash of styles, pretty much, but it was a good, great show going on. They gave me a brief trip back to 1990 when they hit that superplex off the ladder, and you know, followed by a splash a la Power and Glory. For those of y'all that don't know, they were a tag team from like the early 90s. Shout out to Paul Aroma, RIP Hercules Hernandez, but they used that move too as well, and I was like, wow, that was impressive. But I predicted the Young Bucks winning. I also predicted, had a feeling Jack Perry was going to come back and do what he did. Scapegoat Jack Perry. No more Jungle Boy. He's scapegoat now. And it's interesting to see where they go from here on out. I'm actually looking forward to seeing what this new stable is going to bring. But I predicted Matt and Nick actually winning. And for some reason, you know, I made reference to the Rockers, but for some reason, when I see them, they remind me so much of this. I don't know if y'all remember this stable, the York Foundation, which was which comprised of Tommy Rich, who was known as, who then started calling himself Thomas Rich, and Ricky Morton of the Rock and Roll Express, who started calling himself Richard Morton. And they reminded me so much of that stable. And of course, you know, Terry Reynolds was in that group too. But yeah, when I saw them, that's what they sort of reminded me of. So I'm excited to see where it goes. I'm excited and curious to see where it goes from there. I know it's going to be a lot of great things. Mm-hmm. And I know eventually we're going to get, you know, God willingly, we're going to get Kenny Omega coming back. And then we're going to see where all this goes, because they fired Kenny. And we all know Kenny's an original member of the Elite. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens when, if he decides to come back, if he comes back, and, you know, to in-ring action.
When they did that Power and Glory move, I thought they were going to try to do a shatter machine from off one ladder to the, I really thought that's what they were going to do. That'd have been crazy. I'm an FTR guy. However, I'm glad the Bucks won, because if FTR would have won the titles, it would have been a boring title reign. Now with the EVPs, who have all the power anyway, having the titles and even more power, I think it's great for television. I think that, like I said, as much as I love FTR, that match was insane. I was at the first Double or Nothing when they had the ladder match. It was the Young Bucks against the Lucha Bros. And being there was insane. And I couldn't even imagine if I was in St. Louis tonight watching that match live, because every time you turn around, it was a car crash. It was a car crash, and then there was another one. And then a couple minutes later, there'd be another one. And it was like so sequential, and it was awesome. But this story makes sense. The EVPs are in charge. Why wouldn't they have the titles? Why wouldn't they be the champions? They call the shots. They make the rules. But I can't wait for the day they realize a CEO ranks higher than an EVP. That's what I can't wait for. It's fact.
I mean, what do you think?
I said I should not be this wired at 1 o'clock in the morning Eastern. I swear.
I'm getting off of work, so I got to be wired. So, because I don't want to, I live in New York, so I don't want to be. I don't know if you've been to New York, but these trains and buses, they're not exactly the friendliest at night. So I got to be wired, just in case, you know, some crazy person tries something. But yeah.
Oh, I have so many New York train stories as a kid. We could talk offline about that.
I have a good idea what they are, but we'll talk about that later.
So what do you think? So with Jungle Boy now, what do you think is gonna, like, how does he come into play? And then also, I want to read this comment, because we did talk about it a little bit. Both the saying that Will Ospreay is at the scrum. He apologized for missing Brian's calling the doctor. He will not use Tiger Driver 97.
When Jack Perry got escorted out, he did the Elite hand signal, you know. So I imagine he's going to be part of the Elite with the Bucks and Okada, which would be great. The scapegoat character is perfect. I love how they played into it. What, you know, the stuff he did in Chicago last Friday with the Cry Me a River jacket and the Chicago flag. And I was hoping that maybe the Bucks would have shown up in Chicago, because 2 days prior they showed the footage and they made a thing. And, you know, that scapegoat t-shirt sold out after Matt Jackson wore it on Dynamite that night. So I'm glad he's back. I like the beard now that he has. He doesn't look like a 15-year-old anymore.
Yeah, no, he looks more like his dad, which is insane.
Yeah, so I'm glad Jack Perry's back.
Well, if he grew his beard out, he'd be Jungle Man. You know, he's a boy, so he's not supposed to have beard. So he's a Jungle Boy.
Wow. Yeah. All right, Remy, this is for you.
I'll follow that up with a yay, yay.
Oh my God. So this match, Adam Copeland, Eddie Kingston, and Mark Briscoe versus House of Black. How do you guys like this match?
I love the House of Black, and I know they're going towards Adam Copeland and Malachi Black. Man, I really want Adam Copeland and Brody King in the worst way. so much. But it was a good match. It was fun. The fact that Malakai countered the spear with the mist, I don't know why I didn't see it coming, but I didn't see it coming. And I thought it was a great finish.
So in regards to this match, I like it because not only was it like, it wasn't just like it wasn't just one big team against a lesser known team. Mm-hmm. It was pretty much two teams. One was more, you know, one had that chemistry. They teamed consistently for pretty much over a year. The other one were just three guys put together, but three guys that each can be the face of a company, in my opinion. I mean, you got Eddie Kingston, you got and people could say what they wanted because, oh, Eddie Kingston's this, he's that. I like his New York accent, I hate his New York accent. But one thing you have to admit, he's been having a hell of a run in AEW for the last year and a half, and I'm glad that he's getting it. It just goes to show that. I'm not going to say the man's age because I don't like to say people's age and whatnot, but it just goes to show that no matter what age, you know, sometimes, you know, you can still have fun. You can still achieve certain goals. So I'm happy for this, for Eddie Kingston. You got, you know, Mark Briscoe, who I'm glad finally won the Ring of Honor World Championship. I'm happy. It's just sad that, you know, it took, you know, Jay Briscoe passing away for him to actually achieve his goal, which I always thought he should have had it even when Jay Briscoe was alive. And then you have Adam Copeland, who's getting a second breath in his career as well. I enjoyed this match. I like the fact that, you know, yes, you know, the spear was actually countered with the Black Mist. Adam Copeland versus Malakai Black is definitely going to be a classic, in my opinion. But I got a feeling that when we see Adam Copeland, something I noticed about Adam Copeland is when the chips are down and the going gets tough, for some reason he resorts to a dark character, but we don't see it. You know, we saw it when he fought The Undertaker back in 2008. We recently saw it when he fought Finn Balor as a demon in the cage match. He doesn't show his dark character. We could see there's definitely a change with him. And I have a feeling that when they go to that match with him and Malakai Black, we're going to see that dark, well, as to quote Dexter, that dark passenger that Adam Copeland's actually had with him. And, you know, you call me sadistic, call me a sick prick, but I like seeing that side of Adam Copeland. So, definitely enjoyed this match.
It's in the eyes of Adam Copeland when he goes into that mode. It's in the eyes.
Yeah. But one thing I hope that they AEW eventually does is that they pull the trigger on Buddy Matthews and I forgot what the other guy. I'll forget his name. Brody King. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like as singles competitors, they can definitely go far. And I'm hoping that they stay in AEW long enough to actually get that opportunity.
I like the dark passenger reference. That's a good one. It was a great match. House of Black wins via pinfall with the Black Mist, which brings us to our last match, our main event, which was crazy. Samoa Joe and Swerve Strickland. What do you guys think about this match?
The right outcome, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I originally thought Scorpio Sky should have been the first African-American champion for AEW back when they started. Mm. AEW was supposed to be new and fresh. That was their hook, you know, the alternative. And, you know, Scorpio Sky had a lot of great singles matches there, you know, throughout, even with SCU being the tag champs. So I really thought Sky was going to be the guy. Unfortunately, he's had some injuries and other things have happened. But with what Swerve has done in the last, I don't know, 5 months, stuff a legend. And that entrance came out as Black Panther. God, Wakanda forever, man. Swerve was great. I loved it. So look, Joe did what Joe needed to do as champ.
Right. You know,
Max got hurt. And he needed to go away. They needed someone to carry the ball, build the next guy, And here we are. I was wondering if MJF would show up, but I'm glad that he didn't, because I didn't want him to ruin that moment for Swerve. So I love it. I can't wait to go back and watch it again, honestly.
It don't matter if you're from Samoa or some other country, when a man makes himself sign something in his own blood, he done gone. Like, you don't want to mess with that kind of man. He got that crazy look in his eye, like, boy, you like when I saw that look in Swerve's eyes, you know what it reminds me of? Black Snake Moe, Samuel Jackson, when he had that crazy look in his eye, and then he signed the contract in blood. I was like, Joe, you know, I know you Samoan, you a badass, but bruh, you about to be in for the fight of your life, man. Like, I saw this coming a mile away, and I'm happy that, you know, Swerve actually won, because, you know, the man's been doing great work. Mm-hmm. He's definitely built himself up. And it's funny, because I remember the first time I saw Swerve was at a CZW show, actually 10 years ago, and he was dancing to I Want You Back by the Jackson 5 on his way to the ring. And, like, it's just been amazing to see his evolution. I'm actually glad that, you know, he got this chance, and now he's, you know, the AEW World Champion, and now he's actually, you know, he's somebody fresh. You know, I like the fact that, I mean, yeah, he's a former WWE guy, but, you know, you didn't really see much of him in WWE, and now he went over to AEW, and they took him, and they said, hey, this guy can be the face of our company. This guy can actually, you know, carry the ball, and, you know, people will come to see him. So I'm happy for that, and I'm looking forward to seeing who his next challenger is going to be. Question is, who's going to step up now? Who's going to be next challenger? Is it going to be Samoa Joe coming back for a rematch? Are we going to see, well, MJF is hurt. Mm-hmm. You know, who, as the New Day would say, who is going to be the next challenger for Swerve? But whoever it is, I know it's going to be a great match, because Swerve always puts on, and I'm there for it.
I think it's probably going to be Hangman Page.
Oh,
you know, they had that feud leading up to it. You know, Swerve couldn't beat Page was the story. Maybe they go there. I don't know if Swerve will do like an open challenge kind of thing to get, you know, guys like Action Andretti some TV time, or, you know, those types. But I think if it's going to be a big thing, I bet you it's Hangman, because we haven't seen Hangman in a few weeks.
And I mean, I actually thought when Swerve and Hangman had that match, I think it was in LA or was it in Seattle? The beginning of fall when they had that, I think it was in LA, when they had that match, I felt like he was on his way to being champion then. So I feel like we're already behind the ball, but I'm glad that he is champion now. But yeah, I think definitely run that back. That match between Swerve and Paige was amazing. So many references in that match, but well deserved on his end. I don't know, like, him being the first African American champion. And AEW being still fairly new company, I mean, it's not where it is as far as WWE. Do you think, and I think Jason, you made reference to it, do you think it was an oversight on their part, or is it just more timing as far as there were so many moving parts?
You know, I think that, I think it's the right time. Because I swear, like, WWE, it was a long time before they had a first African-American champion. So doing it in year five, okay. You know, you got to have the right guys. You got to be the right guy, right time, situation. And look, here we are. You know, like I said, I wanted Scorpio Sky. Mm-hmm. I'm sure somebody would have wanted, somebody out there wanted Keith Lee when he signed with AEW.
Mm-hmm.
It's Swerve. And here we are. I'm just glad it's here. It was a great moment, and it was a great match.
So, TNA did it in 1 year, if you want to be honest. I mean,
with Ron Killings. But then again, they were under the NWA at the time, but still, I mean, yeah, it's really impressive.
JT saying Swerve should be champ for at least a year. I think I'd be, like I said, with Willow, I think we see the writing on the wall as far as her dropping. With Swerve, I feel like he should have a long title run. I think people would be, I would be upset. I think people would be upset just because I feel like he should have got it last year. Now we're here, he has it. You can't, you know, if you have a short title run, it's like, well, what are we doing? I think somebody made reference that when AEW is in the UK, Ospreay will become champion.
God, that match will be amazing.
It would be amazing. Yeah, we'll
I don't want Ospreay to win that one. I just think I can't wait to see that match.
Yeah. And you also don't we can all get to a tangent as far as the fake TK's decisions with things. So we'll leave that alone. We'll leave that alone. But with that being said, overall, as far as the pay-per-view, any final thoughts, what you liked, what you disliked, what you're hoping for, all that good stuff?
I didn't like some of the crowd chants, but like I said, AEW always delivers on pay-per-views. And like someone in the chat said, that it seems like AEW values their customers and their choice to spend money on AEW pay-per-views. Mm-hmm. So they make sure they deliver with great matches.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear. What were we talking about?
As far as just a final wrap-up, as far as the pay-per-view, what your hopes are, what you didn't like, etc.
Honestly, okay, so it was a great pay-per-view. I'm actually anxious now to see the next Dynamite. Sorry, I'm on the bus and it's kind of like, you know, going through. Yeah, but I'm looking forward to seeing how things go in on Dynamite this next Wednesday. Well, this coming Wednesday, because so many storylines are going to continue. What I'm hoping they do is that with Ospreay, is that they actually because there's right now a rivalry going on between the BCC and the Don mm-hmm. Callis family. What I'm hoping is that after John Moxley defense against Will Hobbs, the next person he fights is Will Ospreay. I'm hoping the BCC, they're like, oh wait, you heard Brian. Now we're gonna come after you. So I hope the next person that fights him is Claudio, and the next one is John Moxley. But I'm gonna say this. I don't know if Will Ospreay and John Moxley have fought before, but if they do, it's gonna be a different person for Will, because this is a guy, and I just thought about this, who loves to bleed and he loves making others bleed. Mm-hmm. And he smiles while he's doing it. So I know Ospreay has a great amount of experience as a wrestler. But the thing is, will he be able to handle a guy with that mindset in John Moxley? A guy who looks like he's not too right in the head. Because Brian Danielson, he's more the technical type. But John Moxley is a totally different person, and he's not one to play. So I'm hoping that we see Claudio face him next, and then we see John face Will afterwards. I want to see that, right? I want to see that revenge angle.
That's good.
That's all I got to say about that, though.
Oh, that's, I mean, book that. I like that. I like all of that. As far as pay-per-views are concerned for AEW, I really like this one. For some reason, I feel like it was a little bit shorter. I don't know why, because I do watch pay-per-views on the West Coast, so I don't know why. It felt shorter. It felt a little bit more compact. Sometimes I feel like some of the pay-per-views, they had, you know, one too many matches. I think it was, today was great. There were some predictable moments. And like you were saying, Jason, I like when you can't predict things. So I feel like Double or Nothing, I feel like this one is a setup for Double or Nothing, and Double or Nothing is where we're going to get the heavy hitters as far as a lot of different swerves, things happening, surprises, etc. So I can't wait for that. But with that being said, it's time to wrap up the show. Remy, where can everybody find you?
Well, personally, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at the Renegade. I'm also on Facebook. I see under the alias Renegade as well. You can find me on there. Feel free to add me. I'm a pretty chill person. Talk about wrestling. I also talk about other things like photography, all that other stuff. You know, just give me a follow. And my podcast, Ringside Psych, Wrestling Fans Podcast. We interview wrestlers, promoters, managers, ring announcers, referees, pretty much everybody under the sun that are part of a wrestling show. And of course, the people that make it, that make or break an event, the fans. Definitely give us a follow. We're on Twitter, Instagram, at Ringside Society. And we're also on Facebook and YouTube as well. Just type in Ringside Society and you'll definitely find us.
And Jason, where can everybody find you?
That Wrestling Podcast every Friday on YouTube and wherever you get your audio podcast, at That Wrestle Pod on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We have merchandise. We got a store at whatamaneuver.net. Just search That Wrestling Podcast. And me personally, That JM Business, or no, The JM Business. That's my Twitter and Instagram. I also do commentary for a promotion outside of Pittsburgh. It's called RWA, the Renegade Wrestling Alliance, rwalive.com for that. We just had our show, our Spring Fling yesterday, featuring hardcore legend, the Sandman, ECW's own. And I got to tell you, I'm at the desk and Enter Sandman hits. And we had about 300 people in the gym last night. I couldn't sit still. I had to get up and just gym. I was hoping Sandman would come to the commentary desk and pour me a beer, but not so much. Next month, we have AEW star Lance Archer, the Murder Hawk Monster, is going to be coming in. And yeah, so That Wrestling Podcast, the JM Business on Twitter and Instagram, and rwalive.com.
Boom, there it is. You can follow me everywhere on everything at TK Trinidad. Thank you guys so much for watching. Shout out to Bosa, JD, JT, MDB, 999 for joining us. And the people who are going to be watching after, because it is kind of late. So when you take that rewatch in the morning, make sure you follow everybody who joined to talk about the show. Give us your thoughts on the show as well. With that being said, you can follow Women's Wrestling Talk on all platforms at WWE Talk Pod. Thank you guys so much for watching Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling show on the planet. Ciao for now.
Hey, I'm Renee Paquette, and you are watching Women's Wrestling Talk.
10, 9, 8, 7.
Thanks for joining WWT. Don't forget to like us on all social media platforms at WW Talk Pod. Like and subscribe on all video and audio platforms, like yesterday, my G. And check out our website at www.talkpod.com. Thanks for watching Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling network on the planet.